Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
One saying it's over. He must know something that we don't know. Ted Cruz must know something we don't know. Let's listen to Ted Cruz, who sounds increasingly out of touch with reality.
The power brokers in Washington want this race to be over, and the media, over and over again, is repeating Donald Trump's spin that the race is over. Washington and New York want this general election to be between two rich liberal New Yorkers who agree on virtually every issue. Indeed, that's not surprising, given that Donald Trump contributed repeatedly to Hillary Clinton, to her presidential campaign.
All right, you expect mudslinging in a campaign, but this is desperation, because whether Trump is a social liberal is open to question. We'll have to see what policies he enacts. He may be a social liberal, I don't know. But I think that on foreign policy he was quite conservative, wouldn't you? Did anyone listen to this speech, anyone listening to the Savage Nation right now from New York to San Francisco, did anyone have the time to tune in and listen to this very important foreign policy speech? And if you care to comment on Trump's points, we'll play them for you if you didn't. The phone number here is 855-400-7282. If you didn't listen to the speech, it's very simple. It's called America First. This is not the first time we have heard that phrase. America First was initially launched, so far as I can recall from my memory, by the famous aviator Charles Lindbergh. He was called an isolationist, and he was called every name under the sun when he launched that idea of America First. But Donald Trump's campaign strategy and foreign policy of America First is a good one. What should we be, America last, as it is under under Barack Obama? The fact of the matter is, Obama has abandoned our friends and bowed to our enemies, and that's a phrase directly from Government Zero. Do we have that soundbite? We played that one already, right? Well, how about his relationship with Israel? Listen to clip number two.
President Obama gutted our missile defense program, then abandoned our missile defense plans with Poland and the Czech Republic. He supported the ouster of a friendly regime in Egypt that had a long-standing peace treaty with Israel, and then helped bring the Muslim Brotherhood to power in its place. Israel, our great friend, and the one true democracy in the Middle East, has been snubbed and criticized by an administration that lacks moral clarity.
What's wrong with that? Now we're going to hear what the conservatives attack Trump for supporting Israel, I guess. I guess Cruz can now say he had no right to support Israel, because Hillary supports Israel, therefore Trump is wrong for supporting Israel. In the next speech, Trump said we must work together against radical Islam. I guess that offended Wolf Blitzer. Wolf Blitzer would like to be attacked by radical Islam. I guess Fareed Zakariyyah has a soft spot for radical Islamists. I couldn't believe what I was listening to. They may as well have been working for Al Jazeera on CNN after Trump's speech. But then again, I've come to expect this in this age of cynicism in the media. If you care to comment again, the America First theme as opposed to America Last, what do you think of Trump's foreign policy speech? In your mind, is this version of Donald Trump, the softer Donald Trump, the more carefully spoken Donald Trump, is he more electable? Or did you like the old Donald Trump better? Did you like the one who just shot from the hip? I like the one who shot from the hip, frankly, but I like the statements that were made today. What stuck out most to you from Trump's speech today, if you heard it? Why would the CNN talking heads immediately start attacking Trump after a speech, including, well, we'd expect it from Fred Zakariyyah. He's long been, in my opinion, the Mata Hari of the male variety on CNN. He always looks like he's played for the other side to me, but that's only one man's opinion. Everything he says, that Zakariyyah, is a little creepy. There's a creepiness to him. So he was expected to do what he did. But there's another guy that recently appeared on CNN. I've never seen him, a former senator. I think his name is Mike Allen. he was more attackive of Trump than you would expect. Wasn't he a Republican? A very important member of the House Senate Armed Service Committee. And now he's a pundit who's suddenly become a super liberal. I thought that was astonishing. The commentary on CNN was the most disturbing of all of it. They are, in essence, the Al Jazeera of America. And they're acting like it. I don't know whether they receive any foreign money. I don't know whether they're owned in part by any Saudi kings. We do know that Fox News, 18% of it is still owned by one of the Saudis, I believe, unless he sold his interests off. I don't know. But I do know that there's always been this Saudi influence on Fox News. We don't know who the influence is behind the scenes on CNN, nor do we care right now, because once Trump becomes president, I'm sure they'll all pack up their magic carpets and fly back to their homeland. Let's listen together to the Radical Islam piece in clip number 3.
We should work together with any nation in the region that is threatened by the rise of radical Islam. But this has to be a two-way street. They must also be good to us. Remember that. They have to be good to us. No longer one way. It's now two-way. And remember, us and all we are doing, they have to appreciate what we've done to them. We're going to help, but they have to appreciate what we've done for them.
All right, so there it is. Apparently he's got the earphone on now with people telling him to correct certain words, what we've done to them, now what we've done for them. It's a big step going from the improvisational speech, which I do every day, to the scripted speech, which I couldn't do for an hour, let alone for the rest of my life. But being president is a very tough job, and why he wants it, I don't know. You know, I have to assume he has his own reasons to want to be the president. I myself could never be a politician. It's the roughest job in the whole world, incidentally. Let's have a moment of silence for all of the public servants who work so hard for us in the federal government, all those people who spend so much time traveling to Thailand to study the sexual habits of, the equines of Thailand for these big grants at Harvard. We should have sympathy for these NIH and NSF workers. We should have sympathy for those in government who work so hard as public servants. Are there those of you who listen to this speech and have something to say against it? Let's hear from the naysayers out there. Perhaps the Cruz supporters are unhappy with something he said today. They're always unhappy with something that he said because there's nothing Trump could do that would be right. Everyone knows that he is the presumptive nominee. Everyone knows Ted Cruz is out of the race. Everyone knows it except Ted Cruz and the Republican establishment, who are conniving to make certain in any way they can that, as I said yesterday, that Trump doesn't get the nomination. I don't think they have a chance of succeeding, by the way. I believe it's the momentum is so great right now that it would be a suicide mission for them to try to pull it off. But then again, the Republican Party has long been known for stupidity, so they're liable to go ahead and do it anyway. I saw an article last night. I forget who wrote it. I do remember. The guy who looks like with the walrus mustache, one of the foreign policy guys from the Bush era, said that it's not too late to create a third party and a third party candidate. Can you believe it? That they would do this at this stage? And this is a sad day in America when you see people who proposed as conservatives all these years to come out and try to stop Trump. Now, admittedly, I'll say it again. Is he the rock-ribbed, super right-winger that we've all dreamed of? I doubt it. Is he another Goldwater? I doubt it. Goldwater has always been my favorite politician. The election was stolen from him, by the way. I don't know if you know the history of that one. No one even knows who he is. But I always, as a young kid, when I didn't even know politics, I was attracted to Barry Goldwater for a couple of reasons. I liked his machismo. I liked the fact that he was a former Air Force pilot. I liked that he was tall and grandfatherly and had a power about him, an energy. But it was stolen from him by the people who worked against him. Okay, that's water under the bridge. I don't believe that Trump is an inheritor of the Goldwater mantle. I don't know whose mantle he's inheriting, but if you ask me, on the spur of the moment, if you say, Savage, who does he really like in the last whole sequence of presidents? Who is he most like in your mind? I would have to say it would be more like General Eisenhower than anyone. Eisenhower was a centrist Republican president who brought us great prosperity. I believe that if Donald Trump does become president, we will have great prosperity and we will have peace, and I believe he will squash the terrorists like a bug. I believe the military will be rebuilt. I believe that our stores of missiles will be rebuilt. I believe that our drone supplies will be rebuilt. And I believe that they will hunt down the terrorist leaders wherever they are on Earth and kill them. And I believe then, once that does happen, there could be a semblance of peace in the Middle East. And there could be a semblance of peace between the United States and Russia once all of those in the military-industrial complex are sent packing from Washington and are no longer banging the war drums. I believe that if Trump becomes president and they drive the neocons out of Washington, all of those little men hiding in the think tanks around K Street, hiding at Georgetown, who are salivating for another war in the Middle East so they can line their pockets with ill-gotten gains by building up weapons and sending boys to die so they can cash in on it. I believe once they are sent home, peace will prevail between us and Russia, as it should have, until Barry from Honolulu came along and made Russia our enemy number one instead of radical Islam. Well, that's my reaction in a nutshell to his foreign policy speech. When I come back, I'd like to hear your comments. We're completely sold out in the Savage Nation, or on the Savage Nation, from WABC in New York all the way to KSFO in San Francisco. I'll be back in a minute to take your calls and play a few additional pieces from Donald Trump's foreign policy speech today.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. We are talking about the speech of the day, which is Donald Trump's speech. There's no point in wasting our time on anything else. I mean, later on, Cruz is going to try and up him. In about a half hour, give a speech that he's picked. Fiorina, you hear this? To be the running mate. I mean, you know, there's no sense to that one. Fiorina was a failed businesswoman. She was fired by Hewlett-Packard. She ran for the governorship out here. I remember when she ran, and I know why she didn't win. She was soft on illegal immigration, and he's picking her, and he's Mr. Conservative. It's astounding. That'll come up in a half an hour. But we're focusing on the Trump speech. So I'm going to read you some of the things that he actually said as opposed to what the Quislings in the media have said he said. I'll just read it to you. He said, after the Cold War, our foreign policy veered badly off course. We failed to develop a new vision. Logic was replaced with foolishness and arrogance, and this led to one foreign policy disaster after another. Okay, so that's generic. We went from mistakes in Iraq to Egypt to Libya to President Obama's line in the sand in Syria. Each of these actions have helped to throw the region into chaos and gave ISIS the space it needs to grow and prosper. Okay, generic. This is specific, though. It all began with the dangerous idea that we could make Western democracies out of countries that had no experience or interest in becoming a Western democracy. That's 1,000% true. It's a key point in most of my writings. He then went on to say, we tore up what institutions they had, and then we were surprised at what we unleashed. Civil war, religious fanaticism, thousands of American lives, and many trillions of dollars were lost as a result. The vacuum was created that ISIS would fill. Iran, too, would rush in and fill the void, much to their unjust enrichment. All true. Our foreign policy, says Trump, is a complete and total disaster. Now, who could argue with that? Now, I know liberals would say, no, that's false. There's no war in the world. Why would you say that our foreign policy is a complete and total disaster? Can't you argue that the liberal foreign policy of the Obamaites and national security destroyer, Susan Rice, is a total success? There are no wars. We have no foreign troops, really, to speak of, only a small number. So maybe Trump's wrong when he says no vision, no purpose, no direction, no strategy. Would the liberals argue that we have more stability now in the world with Obama than we had with Bush? Remember what I said yesterday? Bush dragged us into a war that was unnecessary. Well, anyway, there's a lot to talk about here. I'd like your comments.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
discriminate against hard-working, terror-hating Muslim Americans, who we need in the fight against radicalization. And both of the top candidates in the Republican Party deny climate change even exists.
Yeah, right, okay. No wire hangers, I get it. So you got two opposite viewpoints here of the Muslims amongst us. One is that they're all our friends, and we need all the Muslims in America to help us to root out the bad apples, which I think is a falsehood in the sense that I don't know of any Muslims who stood up after the last attack and said, we'll help you find them. In fact, when the FBI asked for their help, I think that they turned a cold shoulder to them, but I could be mistaken. Maybe things went on that I don't know about. I know the FBI was struggling to find out what was on the terrorist phones after the last attack in San Bernardino, and even the Great Apple, Tim Cook, the great visitor to the White House, wouldn't cooperate with the FBI and help them hack into that phone of the Muslim terrorists. Because as you well know, Apple puts the dollar above the nation. There is no nation to Apple. There is no nation. They're transnational. Transnational corporations are by definition not related to any nation. Now, it is true they were born here, the people who run it. Their education was here. Their parents were born here. Parents' education was here. The country fed them, clothed them, educated them. But once they reach a certain level of wealth, they spit on their own nation, and they start to think of themselves as above the nation, that only primitive rubes like Michael Savage believe in a thing called nation. It's a thing of the past. The Obamaites, the Tim Cooks of Apple and the others, they all believe in a concept of a transnational world where we're all brothers and we all get along. Wouldn't that be nice? We can all speak Esperanto, I suppose. A new Esperanto app on an Apple phone might be just a ticket to eliminating the English language. But Trump has an opposite view about Islam to Hillary, who says that they're all our friends and we need them in the war against terror. Well, that's a generic statement. Of course we need them in the war against terror, but who's them? Well, one of the moderate Muslim nations that we need, if we're speaking internationally rather than domestically, would be Jordan. But the liberal establishment refuses to give Jordan the weapons that they need to fight ISIS. Do you know that? Jordan's been begging for weapons to fight ISIS. And the military, the Capon military under Barry, has refused to provide them the weapons that they need to fight them. It's true for other, quote, moderate Muslim nations. So who are the moderate Muslims that Hillary is referring to? I don't know who they are. Now, speaking of that, Donald Trump, this is a little side note. I watched the speech, and before he came out 25 minutes late, they all learned that technique from you-know-who. It was supposed to start at the top of the hour. It started at 25 after. And preceding him on the stage was Waleed Faris, who's a brilliant writer, but one of the worst speakers I've ever seen in my life. This man was not meant for that speech, and he was terrified. He was panicked. And frankly, I mean, I've seen him over the years on Fox News. A wonderful writer, but he froze up. He got stage fright. And believe me, if you're giving a major foreign policy speech, what you want to do is have someone whip the crowd up, not put them to sleep. The audience went to sleep with Waleed Faris, whose work I respect greatly. But boy, oh boy, if you watch the replay tonight, you'll ask yourself, who is that gentleman? Because he shouldn't be used again. And I'm not applying for the job, believe me. I'm not looking to be a warm-up speaker to Donald Trump. I've been around too long to be anybody's warm-up speaker. Believe me, I'm not looking for that job. No one offered it to me, nor would I accept it. I'm my own man, and I do my own thing. But a lot of what he said, I liked hearing, because a lot of what he said, I've said over the years. And I think it's nice to hear your own ideas expressed by politicians who may not even know they're quoting you. If you've been around in the media as long as I have, if you've written as many best-selling books as I have, and they have a fairly decent circulation, it stands to reason that your ideas will reach people in one form or another, and they may not even know that they're your ideas or your writings. Speech writers, consultants, lift liberally, pardon the phrase, from writers like myself who are original, and use them as though they created these ideas themselves. It's good to see your ideas disseminated, by the way. As Lao Tzu said, it doesn't matter, really, if you get credit for your ideas. What matters is that your ideas are being circulated. He's 100% right about that. At a certain point, it's almost impossible to copyright an idea to begin with anyway. I don't own these ideas. The ideas are important. That's what really matters. Let's take a couple of quick callers, and let's start right now in Texas on the wonderful, great station of KLIF in Dallas. Rich, thanks very much for listening. What's on your mind, Rich?
Yes, Michael, I absolutely enjoyed Trump today. It's interesting. I loved the opening of the speech, and throughout the speech rang in my ears many things that you have said on your show recently and in the past. I thought he was a little... I didn't like the mannerism because I'm so used to the other Trump. I don't know which I like better, the other one or this one. But I'll guarantee you he delivered the correct message. And the important thing was America and us, the American people, come first. We haven't seen...
Yeah. No, I love the America first theme. I know that's anathema to liberalists. Liberalists hate the idea of nationalism. And Trump is the first nationalist we have had for a presidential candidate in so long we can't even remember when we had one in the past. I don't know who would be the last nationalist. Maybe Reagan was a putative nationalist of some kind. I don't know that you could even apply that to him. I doubt it. But Trump is clearly a populist. We know that. But no, he's more of a moderate nationalist is my definition of Trump. I think you'd agree with that.
I agree with that. But, you know, I think he's got integrity. He's intelligent, and he knows how to get things done. You know, I was very proud of him today. I loved him all along, but he's opened some eyes up, Michael, today, in my opinion. And I think it's going
well, he's opened some eyes in what regard? You mean that he can moderate his stances? Is that it?
Well, yes, and he can really speak to the things that we need to hear. He exposed all of what Obama and his administration has done and you know, has vowed to straighten that out. And what other candidates have done that? You know, the Democrats...
Well, here's an interesting part. After he got through speaking, the quislings on CNN jumped down his throat, and they were just tittering, about his shocking statement that the other NATO allies, only 4 of 28 members besides America, are spending the minimum required 2% of GDP on defense. They said, oh, this is really going to rattle our allies in Europe, said CNN. Of course it's going to rattle them. Why shouldn't they be contributing 2% of their GDP on defense? Britain, France, Germany, Belgium, why shouldn't they be contributing? Italy, why shouldn't they be sending money to NATO as they're supposed to be doing? So what, we're worried about them? Why shouldn't they be paying for their own defense? Why are we picking up the tab?
Absolutely. Remember when Trump was asked about NATO, and he said it was not functional, and we're sick and tired of paying all that we pay for other nations, and everybody degraded that and downed it. But you know what? It's absolutely true. And once again, his statement has come to now, has come 360 around, and people see what he said was right. And
Rich, I'm sending you a copy of Government Zero, since you think that Mr. Trump derived some of his great ideas from the book. I'll send you the Encyclopedia of Conservative Ideas called Government Zero for you to peruse. Now, Robert, do we have Mr. Trump's NATO policy speech in any of the sound bites? If we do, just play it, because I don't really know which sound it is. I can't even follow the sound bites anymore. There's so many of them. I'd like to hear what Mr. Trump has to say about NATO, because it's an important part of the speech. If not, I'll just read it to you now. We have it or not, yes or no? It's an up or no. Of course we don't. The germ of the speech is we never get. I get the generic part, but the part I asked for, we don't get. All right. What he said in plain English again, I'll read it to you. Our allies are not paying their fair share. Our allies must contribute toward the financial, political, and human costs of our tremendous security burden. But many of them are simply not doing so. They look at the United States as weak and forgiving and feel no obligation to honor their agreements with us. It's beautiful. It's 100% true. And then he says, in NATO, for instance, only 4 of 28 other member countries besides America are spending the minimum required 2% of GDP on defense. And he says the U.S., these countries we are defending must pay for the cost of this defense. And if not, the U.S. must be prepared to let these countries defend themselves. He said the whole world will be safer if our allies do their part to support our common defense and security. A Trump administration will lead a free world that is properly armed and funded. Who can fault that? Why would anyone disagree with a statement like that? Why should the European deadbeats be able to get away with this? I'd like to know why. K-O-B-E, New Mexico. D, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Well, the speech, I thought it was absolutely amazing. Stunning, eloquent, precise, great, great descriptions of detail. He was wonderful. I like it. I thought it was a blend of the old Trump and the newer, more controlled Trump. I thought he was nervous at first a little bit, reading the prompter, reading his notes. But then you could tell he really believed what he was saying. And that's the thing about Trump. People believe him because he believes what he's saying. It's not just a bunch of verbiage like all the other politicians. They really will believe, more people will believe now, that Trump means business.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate, Dee, do you want a copy of Teddy and Me or Government Zero?
Government Zero.
That was a long pause. Stay on the line. Let's play another one of Trump's statements, and I believe have we played four yet? If not, play clip four on radical Islam. It's an important one.
The struggle against radical Islam also takes place in our homeland. There are scores of recent migrants inside our borders charged with terrorism. For every case known to the public, there are dozens and dozens more. We must stop importing extremism through senseless immigration policies. We have no idea where these people are coming from. There's no documentation. There's no paperwork. There's nothing. We have to be smart. We have to be vigilant.
Well, that's a modification of him previously saying that he would ban the immigration of Muslims. I didn't hear that today. Maybe I'm mistaken. I didn't see it, nor did I hear it. I think that was removed for the new improved candidate. He's saying in a more generic way, senseless immigration policies, no idea where these people are coming from, no documentation. But I didn't hear him say that he would single out Muslims and not permit them to immigrate to this country until we can figure this thing out, which, by the way, I think was one of the best things he said so far. Anyone who disagrees with that doesn't know the reality of what is happening to this country and what's liable to happen to this country. So, my friends, there's a lot that he said today that is worth talking about. This certainly is a new Trump. It's not the same as the old Trump, but there is still a little bit of the Trump in the new Trump. Maybe enough of the old Trump to still attract large audiences. Maybe not enough of the old Trump to continue to, let us say, excite audiences the way he did. I don't know where this is going to lead. And I don't know that he's going to be able to maintain this kind of presidential persona for very long. It seemed like he was in a set of mental handcuffs to me. He couldn't gesticulate. He couldn't speak off the cuff, which he loves to do, which he's used to doing as a businessman. This whole business of being a politician is a totally different universe. And I don't know that that's going to bring a path to victory. Because once he gets on the campaign trail against Hillary, unless he can unleash the old verbal hand grenades that got him to where he is, she will eat him for breakfast, because no one's going to tell her to hold back. And she will use tooth and claw against him. John on WJR. Oh, we don't have time, but when I come back, I have one open line at 855-407-282. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
We left Christians subject to intense persecution and even genocide. We have done nothing to help the Christians. Nothing. And we should always be ashamed for that.
Now, what is wrong with that? Who would say that that's wrong? Obama has abandoned Christians in the Middle East whose churches are being burned. The people are being herded and killed. There's an absolute Holocaust going on. I haven't heard a word from the Jewish community. And that sickens me more than you could ever imagine. For many, many different reasons. Never again? How about never again for other people? How about never again for the Yazidi girls who were raped and murdered en masse? How about hearing that in the synagogues on Saturday morning instead of hearing about global warming? That'll be the day that I can respect liberal Judaism again. He is the only candidate who is discussing the Holocaust against Christians in the Middle East being conducted by Muslims. Not by heaven itself, but by Muslims. They're killing Christians all over the Middle East. They're killing them in these camps. They're hunting them down and killing them in these internment camps in Europe as they wait to be accepted into the nation. Muslims are killing Christians in these camps. Do you know that? He then goes on and he says, we're in a war against radical Islam, but Obama won't even mention name the enemy. He said Clinton also refuses to say the words radical Islam, even as she pushes for a massive increase in refugees. Well, you know, you're going to have a very clear choice in this election. It's either going to be America first or America last. It's that simple. Obama has made this nation a laughingstock in the world, a weakling on the world stage, while he and his minions have sacked the treasury and rendered us impotent to our enemies. And I believe that Trump would reverse that. Whether he can actually pull this off is open to question, given the difficulty in moving Washington to do anything that's decent, where there's no, let us say, money in their pocket for doing so. But I would say at least he knows what's right and what's wrong. Hillary has it all upside down. She wants not America first, but America last. She doesn't want to close the door to immigrants. She wants to open the door to even more immigrants. She doesn't want to support our borders. She wants to erase our borders. She does not want to see English become the predominant language once again. She wants to see English just one of many languages. In other words, a Tower of Babel.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Both our friends and our enemies put their countries above ours. And we, while being fair to them, must start doing the same. We will no longer surrender this country or its people to the false song of globalism. The nation state remains the true foundation for happiness and harmony. I am skeptical of international unions that tie us up and bring America down, and will never enter. And under my administration, we will never enter America into any agreement that reduces our ability to control our own affairs.
Okay, Donald Trump's speech today, his first major foreign policy speech, read from a teleprompter, very different than the off-the-cuff type of stuff that we've been used to. It's a new Donald Trump. Some don't like the delivery. They say it's too stiff. I think the delivery is unimportant. Of course, we like the old Donald Trump better. We like the insulting Donald Trump. We like the blustery Donald Trump. We like the real Donald Trump. But that's irrelevant. What's relevant now is what his policies are as foreign policy. Fundamentally, they're America first, as we have said in this program on hour number one. It's America first, not America last. Hillary stands for the opposite. She wants America as an entity to dissolve completely, where the flag itself will become a memento, an antique memento of the past. So he's flag-waving. He is definitely a nationalist. And he is saying America first. So where did the idea of America first come from? Many of you don't know history. I do. The America First Committee was the first non-interventionist pressure group against the American entry into World War II. And it appeared in 1940. And it dissolved on December 10th, 1941, 3 days after the attack on Pearl Harbor. Just so you know, they didn't continue their anti-war rhetoric after the attack on Pearl Harbor. But It was a non-interventionist pressure group. So who was in the America First Committee in the beginning? It was started in 1940 by Yale Law School student R. Douglas Stewart. Who's he? He's the son of the co-founder of Quaker Oats, along with other students, including, ready for this, future President Gerald Ford, future Peace Corps Director Sergeant Shriver, future U.S. Supreme Court Justice Potter Stewart when they were students, future President JFK contributed $100, along with a note that said, what you all are doing is vital. At its peak, America First claimed 800,000 dues-paying members in 450 chapters, located mostly in a 300-mile radius of Chicago. Now, what was the America First Committee, and what was it accused of being? Well, the America First Committee originally gained great strength by merging with the more left-wing Keep America Out of War Committee, whose leaders included Norman Thomas and John T. Flynn. They had 135,000 members in 60 chapters in Illinois, its strongest state. Now, without reading all of the people involved, I think the most prominent member is important for you to know, and that would be the great aviator Charles Lindbergh, who was accused, by the way, of being a Nazi sympathizer because he was a non-interventionist, by the way. That's the history of this. It's an interesting thing, the way the media works. Lindbergh did not want Americans to go to war in World War II. So people called him sort of a sympathizer with the Nazis, which I don't believe is true at all. But I'm not here to argue about 1939 and 1940. The America First Committee, upon which Donald Trump is basing his keynote speech on America First, has a history. And you should educate yourself on this history. Because, as I say, there were many prominent people involved in the America First movement at that time, including, are you ready, Socialist Party leader Norman Thomas, and the aviator, as I mentioned, Charles A. Lindbergh, a great hero. Lindbergh was the first man to fly across the Atlantic alone in a little one-engine plane. It's an amazing feat. Other celebrities supporting America First were the great novelist Sinclair Lewis, the poet E.E. Cummings, Walt Disney, actress Lillian Gish, the great architect Frank Lloyd Wright wanted to join. But Frank Lloyd Wright, believe it or not, was rejected when the local board said that Frank Lloyd Wright had a reputation for immorality. I won't go into that one. The many student chapters of America First included future celebrities such as author Gore Vidal when he was a student at Phillips Exeter Academy, and as I said, the future president Gerald Ford at Yale University. So what did they stand for? Well, they launched a petition aimed at enforcing the 1939 Neutrality Act and forcing President Franklin Delano Roosevelt to keep his pledge to keep America out of the war. They distrusted Roosevelt and argued that he was lying to the American people. And I won't go into all of the little details of it. You just should know that this whole phraseology, or the phrase America First, has an origin. And the origin was, as I just described to you, and one of the most prominent members of the America First movement was Charles Lindbergh, who was accused of being sympathetic to Hitler. Why? Well, he was a frequent guest of Hitler in the 1930s. He was an admirer of the buildup of the Nazi Air Force, the Luftwaffe. And he had been actively involved in questioning the motives of the Roosevelt administration, etc. So you need to look into his anti-war stance from several different points of view. Lindbergh's first radio speech, which I wish we could get, Robert, that would be a great one to play on this show. Lindbergh's first radio speech was broadcast on September 15th, 1939, and it was played on the three major radio networks, the Mutual, National, and Columbia Radio Networks. And in this speech, Charles Lindbergh urged listeners to look beyond the speeches and propaganda they were being fed, and instead ask themselves who was writing the speeches and reports, who owned the newspapers, and who influenced the speakers. So there's a lot to be learned here, and there's a lot of tension now, just as there was a lot of tension then. And what you're going to hear over the next few days and weeks from the vermin in the media is that America, because I'm giving them a little groundwork, I'm telling you what's coming. I am the thinking man in talk radio. I lay out ideas that are then picked up by others. Watch what happens over the next few hours, a few days, Watch what happens on MSNBC and watch what happens on CNN. Mark my words. I am describing to you the history of this organization, America First. What you're going to hear from Wolf Blitzer and the other Quisling traitors in the United States of America is that Donald Trump's America First movement has a history. We just want to show it to you. And part of this history was a group called America First. And in this group, the great aviator Charles Lindbergh spoke, and then they're going to show you Nazi flags. They're going to show you him shaking hands with Hitler. And back to you, Faria. Do you have anything to add to that? That's what's coming. They won't tell you that John F. Kennedy was a member of America First. They won't tell you that Gerald Ford was a member of America First. They won't tell you any of those things. They're going to try and smear Trump as being an isolationist in the tradition of the America First movement of that time. I'm just giving you a little history of what's coming. I can tell you I know who owns the media. I know who runs the media. I know how the media operates. I know exactly what they're going to do. And although an anti-war message like this should normally, let's say a non-interventionist viewpoint, such as that expressed by Trump today, should normally be picked up by the left, and they should salute him for it, they're going to try and hang him by his own petard because they don't like him. No matter what he says and no matter what he stands for, they're going to try and hang him by his own words, letting a true criminal get away with virtual murder. And that murder could be Benghazi or many other areas where people have been found dead in the wake of the candidate on the other side of the aisle. Who else was in the anti-war movement and in America First? You'll have to read it yourself. Let me summarize it by saying to you the America First movement was a peace organization. It was an isolationist organization. It was an organization that said America should come first. And not engage in foreign, interventionism. Now, in our time, conservative commentator, and he's a great man, Pat Buchanan, praised America First and even used his name as a slogan. I don't know if Buchanan was, one of the speechwriters for Trump. I'm not saying he was or wasn't. I don't know. But Buchanan's a brilliant writer, and it could be that he was involved or is involved in writing for Trump. I hope so. But, we're going to find out a lot of things over the next few days about the whole America First sentiment of Donald Trump. And all of you anti-war 60s hippies who are listening to this show, you should know that all of your peace activities in the 60s, your peace strikes, your anti-war activities, you should be saluting Donald Trump, not attacking him. He just said he doesn't want intervention in foreign wars. So why would you attack him for that? I think you need to think about these things before you just become another, rabid hater of Donald Trump. Anyway, now I want to go back to the speech itself. I've given you my little backgrounder on the concept of America First, which is the keynote of his foreign policy. And he opened the speech vowing to shake the rust off America's foreign policy. He said he would outline a vision for U.S. foreign policy, quote, that replaces randomness with purpose, ideology with strategy, and chaos with peace. And, of course, he said, my foreign policy will always put the interests of the American people and American security first. He gave this speech at the famous Mayflower Hotel, and it was meant to appeal to Republican Party elites. And in that sense, I think he achieved his end in that he kept it very, very vanilla in most ways, while still sounding the populist themes that have got him to this point. If you care to comment on Donald Trump's speech today, I have an open line at 855-400-7282. This is the Michael Savage Show. The first caller in this hour will be in my hometown of San Francisco on the great KSFO radio, where I begin my radio career in 1994. Jim on KSFO, welcome to the program.
Hello, Dr. Savage. Thank you so much. I'm actually out of Indianapolis. I'm listening on an app. But today I finished the sale, was traveling from one city to another, knew the speech was coming up, had lunch, listened to it at a cafe. He blew me away, sir. It was awesome. I've just been a growing fan over the last several months. Started out as a Rand Paul guy and went to Cruz. But eventually came home to Trump. Really, really excited about it.
Okay, I don't want to just feed this whole thing, but why did you leave Cruz and go to Trump?
You know what? Maybe it comes down to this. I read Kuz's book and couldn't finish it. I was just bored. Eventually, I was like, I've had enough.
Wait. Well, you read through Kuz's book? I'm sorry, I didn't follow you. You read through Kuz's book and was bored?
By the end of it, I was like, I've had enough. I get it. I kind of get where you come from, where your stances are, but he didn't hold my attention. And I read Crippled America and said, wow, Donald Trump is speaking to me. He's speaking to people like me who said, you know, I wasn't a soldier. I have real bad asthma and I couldn't go. I tried to get in twice. But I have friends who came home and killed themselves. And I've, you know, lived through the Obama years and the Bush years. I'm 30. And it was last Saturday. This will kind of get to the point. I am with my son. He's 3 years old. We're about to go fishing. We stop at a diner. And I'm just looking at him as he's talking to people and eating his pancakes and thinking, am I raising you to fight a war here to protect your sisters? Like, is that what it's come to? And I'm just so excited that we have a leader who believes in America first and isn't out to sell us out to the lowest bidder.
It's beautifully put what you just said, and I think it's from the heart, and it speaks to the whole popularity of Donald Trump. I think there are tens of millions of men like you, young fathers who are looking in the eyes of their children and saying, wait a minute, what country am I leaving for them? My children are grown, but I have a grandchild, but I look at young children in the streets and I ask myself, if this trajectory is continued, they will be slaves in their own nation. I don't mean in chains, but they've already been put into mental straitjackets. They've been re-educated to believe in things that are false, to hate their own race, to hate their own nation, to hate their own religion, to hate their own sexual orientation. This has to stop. At the end of the day, I think there's only one candidate who might stop it. Thank you, my friend, and thank you so much for calling the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646.
I will not hesitate to deploy military force when there is no alternative. But if America fights, it must only fight to win. I will never send our finest into battle unless necessary, and I mean absolutely necessary, and will only do so if we have a plan for victory with a capital V.
Okay, so there you heard it. There's a man who said he will use the military, but extremely sparingly. And if he does, they're going to go in and win. They're not going to go in to let the enemy kill them, as George Bush did to our men. As I said to you yesterday, so many of our men committed the grave crime in Iraq of killing the enemy before getting killed themselves. According to the Bush doctrine, the American troops should have gotten shot first. And then if they were still alive, shoot back later. And those who shot first to save their own lives were court-martialed in many cases. Why do you think there are so many people coming back from war today under the Obama doctrine, which is even more draconian against our troops, and killing themselves? Do you know what it's like to be in the military and hear that you're the bad guy, to be told that you're not supposed to use your weapon until you're fired upon? Can you imagine what it's like to go into combat with sissies as commanders? Can you imagine what it's like to not be told that you're the good guy? Can you imagine living through that for several years and then coming back to a nation? And you walk around in this nation and you see people who look like they're from another planet, drugged up maniacs walking in the street looking like blimps? Well, my friends, if you listen to Trump's speech, I think you're going to see a new dawn in this country. It reminded me of Jeremiah's statement from the Bible, "Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, said the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will grant you compassion, that he may have compassion upon you, and cause you to return to your own land." So there are biblical overtones, whether Trump knows it or not, in his speeches. I only wish I knew who wrote it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE.
will develop, build, and purchase the best equipment known to mankind. Our military dominance must be unquestioned, and I mean unquestioned, by anybody and everybody.
Okay. So there's the other side of the non-interventionism, peaceful Donald Trump, which is build up the military. Well, we have a Navy that's been shrunk under Barry from Honolulu to a level that is unsupportable. There's a low morale in the Navy that everyone in the Navy knows about. It has been sissified. It has been demilitarized, defanged. The number of ships has been reduced to less than 125 ships in the whole U.S. Navy. Can you believe what this... I don't have words for what I think about Obama. I've spent years trying to warn you about this man, but he's not finished yet. But let's leave that aside. It's early yet before the end of his regime. And what's coming will shock you, but it won't shock me. I want to go back again to the speech that Trump gave today, a major foreign policy speech, and the immediate after effects as heard by the worms on CNN. They immediately attacked him. Listen to a montage on the Savage Nation.
When he expanded, it was sort of rambling to the point of being incoherent. I mean, he contradicted himself several times, it struck me.
It was not exactly coherent. He mentioned Benghazi in a national foreign policy speech, a little odd. And then lastly, he did, in Michigan, we'd call it putting Bondo on the car, trying to keep that thing together.
But the fact that he's talking here about really looking at the relationship with Russia, what does that mean in Europe? Does that mean he is going to blink and forget about what's happened in Ukraine and what's happened in Crimea? That's what the European nations are going to worry about.
If I had a time machine and put myself back covering the George W. Bush White House in 2002, 2003, he would have been laughed out of, of the country, basically, by anybody who considered themselves real Republican.
And he ended with a truly bizarre statement about the greatest problem in the world is that we have too many weapons. And once again, a strange place where you might find that he and Bernie Sanders are one.
Okay, so there are some of the comments. Bizarre. We should go to war with Russia. How dare you mention Benghazi? It's incoherent. The standard stuff from the Quislings at CNN. I mean, coming from CNN is no different than it coming from Al Jazeera or any of the other anti-American channels. We understand that. But it was immediate. It was instantaneous, even though on the face of it, these left-wingers should have agreed with Trump on some of his statements. They took umbrage with the statements just because it was Trump, not coming from one of theirs. So again, the main theme is America first. Not globalism, but America first. I don't know who could argue with that. I don't know how anyone could argue that globalism is working for America right now, when we see what's happened with our jobs and our factories. We see what's happening with our imports and our exports, and we see what kind of wonderful human beings we're getting from the third world and what they do to this country the minute they come here. Just yesterday in New York City, the NYPD conducted the largest gang crackdown in New York City history. I don't know if you saw that story this morning. 120 gang members were charged in a Bronx gang crackdown, the largest in New York history. Now, where do you think these suspects came from? Manhattan U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara, Police Commissioner Bill Bratton, and other law enforcement officials announced the charges against 120 members and associates of two rival gangs. The largest anti-gang action in American history. Who, Mr. Bharara said, have allegedly wreaked havoc on the streets of the Northern Bronx for years by committing countless acts of violence against rival gang members and innocents alike. And you have to ask yourself where these groups came from. Are they domestic? Are they foreign? You know that one of the victims was a 92-year-old woman named Sadie Mitchell, who was killed by a stray bullet that went through her home's window on 224th Street near White Plains Road in 2009. Another was a 15-year-old boy who Mr. Bharara said was stabbed and left to die in the street. The indictment in New York City also alleges that the defendants knowingly committed the narcotics trafficking offense within 1,000 feet of playgrounds, public and private elementary, vocational and secondary schools, etc. You can read it for yourself. But authorities who made this arrest, which is unprecedented in New York City, these arrests occurred around the East Chester Gardens housing development. That's a public housing project for those of you who live outside of New York. and they were arrested for selling drugs, including marijuana. For those of you who think marijuana is a safe drug, you're wrong. Crack cocaine, prescription pills, and they stored guns at the playground or in nearby apartments or cars. Marijuana, crack cocaine, prescription pills, etc. Let's see who they were. Homeland Security Chief Angel Melendez said one of the gang's leaders was 24 years old. He said, I saw 24 years old, and it's important to note that is the average age of both of these gangs. Very interesting. So what does this have to do with Donald Trump's rise in American politics? Do you think that the lawlessness that has popped up in America under Obama, and there's a lot of crime that's being swept under the rug by the very same naysayers of his speech, for example. They always look the other way. Every news story that they run has to be run through the lens of, is it good for Hillary? Is it good for the Democrats? Or is it good for Trump and good for the Republicans? That's all they think about. There is not a story that will be run that will add to the narrative that Donald Trump is trying to deliver. The phone number here is 855-400-7282. To me, one of the greatest parts of Trump's speech today was his desire to reach out across to Russia and make peace with Russia instead of continuing to rattle sabers as the crazy man in the White House is doing as a result of his deranged sorority, who seems to want to go to war. Now, I don't know where the deranged sorority is getting their ideas from. If they want to go to war with Russia, how does this help America? What kind of insanity is this? Russia is our natural ally against radical Islam. Why would you want to alienate Russia? There's only a few reasons for it, and I described them all in Government Zero. Some of them make no sense whatsoever. None of them make any sense whatsoever, to be very specific. There is no reason to go to war with Russia. The only people who want to go to war with Russia are those who are reacting to the neocons who are advising the foreign policy of America today, or, and I'll be very specific, who are doing it at the behest of Barack Obama, whose ego is threatened by Vladimir Putin, because Putin is more popular in the world as a leader and considered more powerful. For the first time in modern American history, the U.S. president is no longer considered more powerful than some others. He's fallen in power. He's seen for what he is, a laughingstock and a weakling, who takes out all of his venom on the American opposition and is terrified of the real enemies of peace and stability. But more specifically, Putin is seen as a strong man and Obama is seen as a weakling. And for that, Obama cannot forgive him. And as a result, Obama has a vendetta against Putin. And as a result, you are hearing the speeches over and over again from his minions that Russia is evil, Russia's Hitler, Russia's Germany, or Putin is Hitler, we need to go to war with Russia. A disaster for the world. And I think that by Trump coming along saying the opposite, that's a good thing for the world. And by the way, liberals should approve of that, incidentally. Let's listen to clip number 8, where he says America will play the role of peacemaker.
I will be America's greatest defender and most loyal champion. We will not apologize for becoming successful again, but will instead embrace the unique heritage that makes us who we are. The world is most peaceful and most prosperous when America is strongest. America will continue and continue forever to play the role of peacemaker. We will always help save lives and indeed humanity itself. But to play that role, we must make America strong again.
Okay, it's pretty good stuff. I mean, I don't know how you can disagree with it. Even if you're a liberal, you'd want to hear that the man is a man of peace. I don't understand why they hate him so much. I was reading things that some of the deranged, doped up actors have said about him. It's shocking. I don't know why they're saying these things about him. I could see they don't like his policies, but to hate him so much, so personally, as this creep Mickey Rourke did a while ago, you know, that guy, that failed actor with the numerous surgeries on his face, the guy who looks like Frankenstein. Remember the has-been, the flop, who came back with the movie The Wrestler? You remember the guy used to be good-looking, and then he had so many surgeries, he looked like a certain congresswoman from San Francisco, the Botox and the surgeries? well, I don't know, apparently thinks he's a tough guy because he acted like a tough guy in many of his movies. He said things about Trump that were deranged, and I don't understand where they're coming from and why they hate him so much. But nevertheless, let's get back to the important stuff, which is taking the callers on the Savage Nation. KBET Radio, J.D., go ahead. Where are you calling from? What city are you actually in, J.D.?
Henderson, Nevada, Michael.
Great. Wonderful place. You're out in the desert, outside of Las Vegas. What's on your mind?
Well, I thought his speech was excellent. I liked it because it was slow and clear, not loud or boisterous. And by his slow tone, I think everybody heard every word he said. I think it was almost to the extent of Reagan-esque. I think if you would play a clip of some of Reagan's great speeches against this one, you will see the similarities. For example, when Reagan was running in 1980, some of his campaign speeches and his great speech at Kandahar in Normandy Beach. This was a clear speech to our enemies like ISIS. We're not going to tell you what we're going to do, and we're not going to tell you when we're going to do it. We're just going to do it.
Yeah, that was a very important point, and I want to play clip six, Robert, to emphasize what caller J.D. just said from the Las Vegas area on KBET. Listen to what Trump says in clip number six.
We must, as a nation, be more unpredictable. We are totally predictable. We tell everything. We're sending troops, we tell them. We're sending something else, we have a news conference. We have to be unpredictable. And we have to be unpredictable starting now. But they're going to be gone. ISIS will be gone if I'm elected president. And they'll be gone quickly. They will be gone very, very quickly.
Well, that's pretty clear. By the way, in this portion of the speech, J.D., thanks for calling. In this portion of the speech, I think what Trump did here is he had the teleprompter, he had the speech, and he went off script and spoke again off the cuff in his old vernacular. And you could hear that in this one when he repeats himself. And you could hear him thinking out loud when he says, we have to be unpredictable. We have to be unpredictable starting now. You can hear that he's actually going off script. He's taking a couple of lines from the script, and then he's going off script and expressing it in his old way. Now, I want to go to the other clip that we haven't played of Trump, which is an important one. And that is one that we played a little earlier. It was very, very important that we play it again. I want you to hear this clip about radical Islam, because Hillary has the polar opposite viewpoint. To her, there is no enemy. To her, Islam is not the enemy, nor is there any radical Islam. I want you to listen to clip number three.
We should work together with any nation in the region that is threatened by the rise of radical Islam. But this has to be a two-way street. They must also be good to us. Remember that. They have to be good to us. No longer one way. It's now two-way. And remember us and all we are doing. They have to appreciate what we've done to them. We're going to help, but they have to appreciate what we've done for them.
Right. Again, that was a little off script, but the point is well taken. He mentioned the words radical Islam. Obama won't even mention the word Islam in the same phrase as terrorism. He denies there's any link. He refuses to help our allies, even Muslim nations. He refuses to help them fight radical Islam. So I believe that Trump could turn America around. I believe he could save America from the disastrous course it is currently on. And I believe the exact opposite is true about his opponent, Hillary Clinton. That opens up one line at 855-407-2822. This is the Savage Nation, where Teddy and me prevail. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CON.
After a great deal of consideration and prayer, I have come to the conclusion that if I am nominated to be President of the United States, that I will run on a ticket with my vice presidential nominee,
Carly Fiorina.
Stupid, idiotic, disconnected from reality. Is he living in Brobbingdang? The man just got smashed in five states. He's already picking up a vice president. I never heard anything. Has he been elected yet to the... This is beyond belief. And then this, with much prayer, I'm sorry, it gives me the chills. I think that we need to keep our prayers to ourselves. I don't think we need to wear our prayers on our armband, as an armband on our wrists. I mean, it's ridiculous, the whole thing. And Fiorina's a horrendous choice. You know, she failed as a businesswoman. She was not a great businesswoman. I don't know what he's trying to do here, but I think it shows his desperation more than anything else. When I asked Donald Trump last Monday who he might pick to be vice presidential, you know, candidate with him, he said, it's too early to tell. I need to win the primary. I need to win the nomination first. That's what he said. Now, by the way, I'll make an announcement now, whether it will happen or not, God knows. Donald Trump will be on this radio show on Friday. Donald Trump will be on the show on Friday. I know that it's news when Megyn Kelly states that he'll be on our show. It's covered by Drudge, everyone else. But of course, when he's on this show, it's not covered by anybody, because millions of people who listen to the Savage Nation are the unwashed masses that are rejected by the geniuses in the blogs and in the media. Breitbart refuses to cover anything that I say because they're part of the cartel that hates the Savage Nation. And I would be remiss not to tell you that I am a man alone. I have always been a party of one. And I'm very proud to say to you that I was the first major figure in the media to support Donald Trump. Everyone in the business knows that. They sneered at him the way they've sneered at me. But let me tell you something. They're not sneering anymore. They're all trying to get on the bandwagon. But I'll give you a little advice. There's no more room on the bandwagon. It's full. Let's see if he can make it on Friday. If he's not going to make it, I'll still forgive him, because he's in a new state of mind right now.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Today, I'm very proud and very humbled and honored to announce that I have accepted Senator Ted Cruz's offer to be his vice president. Last night it was pretty clear. Everybody in the media, the establishment, the elites, they all said, well, it's over. I mean, it's over. Donald Trump won. But it isn't over. It isn't over because...
This sounds like a group of children in a bad high school play, playing at being a vice president. I mean, it's stupid. The whole thing's dumb. I mean, the elites. All of a sudden, the elites now pick Donald Trump. They reversed the whole thing. Now you're the elites now. You listen to the Savage Nation. I'm in one of the elites now. I was not the one invited into the Bush White House to have tea with him. Everyone else in the media was. Well, were you invited into the White House with George Bush? So how could you be an elite? Well, the elites now are the ones who said it's over. No, we're saying it's over. Go home, Fiorina. Go home already and pack up your carpet bag. And Ted ought to go home and study his Bible a little bit more, instead of waving it around and telling us that he did prayer last night to pick Carly Fiorina. It's just stupid. It's idiotic. You know, even the governor of Florida gave a speech today saying it's time to end the Stop Trump campaign because it's only going to help Hillary. Everyone seems to know it, except these people who've been eliminated. They've hitched their star to a dead wagon. The horse died. The wagon's not moving. As she jumps on with a whip in her hand, she's screaming, onward to Washington. The horse is dead. The wagon wheels are stuck in a rut. And she's screaming, on to Washington, and the crowd cheers her on. I mean, I'm speaking in caricatures to you now, in the way that you've come to expect from me. Today, Trump spoke in a much different manner. He spoke, of course, from a script. And it was not the same Trump we've all come to know and kind of like, the guy who repeats himself, doesn't finish sentences, mashes the syntax, mixes up tenses. We liked it because that shorthand reached us. The longhand version that we got today, it was well, I mean, the speeches were good. Well, the segments of the speech were very good. But it wasn't the Donald Trump we all, you know, we want to hear it forever. We want to hear fire and brimstone coming out of him from now until, you know, kingdom come. There's another story I want to talk about, which is the ex-speaker Hastert sentenced to 15 months in prison. It's a very important case for a number of reasons. The judge called him a serial child molester. Now, I'm not denying that what he did didn't happen. I'm pretty sure by what I read, he did molest these boys, that he had feelings towards boys and he acted on them. And, of course, he's being pilloried for something that is glorified in San Francisco, which is unto itself quite ironic, wouldn't you say? I mean, just think about what I just said. This kind of behavior is kind of held up as okay in San Francisco. But because a Republican did it, it's not okay. But let's put it aside. They were children. He took advantage of them. He was a coach. He molested them. Let's say that happened. Well, the story itself becomes interesting when you see that the statute of limitations on these allegations had expired. So what was he arrested for? He was sentenced to more than a year in prison for the hush money case, meaning he was blackmailed by one of the boys. When he grew up, the boy grew up and blackmailed him. And he demanded something like $3 million. I think that was the number. So Hastert withdrew money to pay the $3.5 million extortion to someone referred to in court papers as Individual A to keep the sex abuse secret. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Hastert pled guilty last fall to violating a banking law. A banking law. In other words, they went after him, not on the molestation because they couldn't. They went after him on violating a banking law. Now, why would they do this? Why would they go after a 70-some-odd-year-old man who paid hush money to this creep, this extortionist? They did it in order to make sure that it appeared at this time to embarrass Republicans. This entire case stinks to high heaven. Of course the kid was a victim decades ago. But this victim then became an extortionist, if you analyze the case very carefully. But do you know what prosecutors said about this extortion scheme from this kid who was molested by Hastert? I mean, it's extortion. The kid demanded $3.5 million to keep the sex abuse secret, right? So this Republican, Hastert, goes and makes massive cash withdrawals from his banks. FBI investigates. He lies to FBI agents. And what happens is the prosecutors themselves, who are usually the lowest people on the planet, as everyone knows, prosecutors are lower than snakes. The prosecutors don't describe this extortion as extortion. They consider it an out-of-court settlement to Individual A. Can you believe that they would twist the law like this? So that's why the case is important to me. It shows you how sick and twisted the legal system is. They got him not on molestation, but on a banking violation. And they put this guy in jail. I think he's going to go away for a year. It's true that Hastert probably abused these four students in his years at Yorkville High School, southwest of Chicago. And I don't know what to ask you. I don't know which way you want to go on this story, but I think it's a very important story from three different angles. One, the statute of limitations expired. He was being extorted by one of the kids he molested 30 years later. And because they can't get him on molestation, they get him on a banking irregulation. Why now? Answer. Because it makes Republicans look like hypocrites. That fills the narrative. That fulfills the narrative that is being put forward by all of the haters of decency in this country. And that's the story. If you care to comment it, I don't know what you could say that I haven't said. I had to talk about it because it's not as clear-cut as you may think. Someone said to me this morning, it's good he got what he deserved. I said, wait a minute. What do you mean he got what he deserved? They couldn't even get him on the alleged molestation because the statute of limitations had expired. They got him on violating banking laws, and he was withdrawing money to pay an extortionist. But the judge slammed him, calling him a child molester. It's a crazy American story. It's corrupt on every possible level. The judge called the former House Speaker a serial child molester, as Mr. Hastert apologized for mistreating boys he supervised as a wrestling coach. There's nothing unusual. I was a high school, college wrestler. I always knew about the locker room code. I mean, I knew to stay away from them. Let's put it to you that way. Maybe other kids weren't as cynical as I was. We knew that everyone who went into that area of coaching, let's had a certain interest. All right, boy, they always blew. I don't want to do a pantomime with the wet towels and the whistles. I don't want to do it. But he committed sexual abuse, no question about it. But the law is very clear. There's a statute of limitations. It expired. He had been extorted by one of the boys he molested decades later. They didn't get him on molestation. They got him on violating a banking law for withdrawing money and not reporting the cash transaction. You think that's fair? Or do you want to just talk about Trump? All right, we can go on. I don't want to go into the touching and the this and the that. I think molesters are horrible people. I think that they destroy a boy's innocence or a child's innocence that can never be recaptured, to be very honest with you. It's one of the worst crimes you can commit against a child. But the law is the law, and he didn't get nailed on that. He got nailed on withdrawing cash. So that's what bothers me here. And what really is troubling, from my point of view, is when the story about Hastert became big, just in time for Trump's ascension, so that everyone could say, you see that? All those old white men, they're all the same. See that? All those Republicans are hypocrites. See that? You get the whole picture. And we hear nothing about Hillary's email scandal. The email scandal is one of the greatest crimes of the century. No other Secretary of State has ever done anything like this. And we all know that she broke the law, but we also know that she has crippled the FBI, prohibiting them from pursuing this case against her. WFTW in Florida. Rich, go ahead, please. On which topic do you call?
Yeah, on the Hastert case, Michael. The original prosecution of Hastert was for the banking violation, and the violation consisted of making a series of withdrawals which were just under the ceilings of the required reporting. If it's 10,000 or over, it has to be reported by the bank. So it
right.
was making $8,500 withdrawals at a time.
Right.
So it wouldn't trip any flags. But the reason they went after him, I think, if you look at the overall picture, is that Hastert was extremely influential in aiding the House Republicans in stopping comprehensive immigration reform, and the bill came over from the Senate in 2013, you'll recall. The House caucus more or less rose up and told Boehner not only no, but hell no, and you won't be Speaker, and we'll vote you out if you try to push this through. And Hastert backed up the House, and he attended all the caucus meetings and criticized Boehner openly.
So you're saying Hastert blocked amnesty for illegal aliens. That was the crime that triggered this action against them, you think?
Exactly. That's exactly why.
So the Republicans unleashed the FBI on him, is what you're saying.
Right. And of course, the administration loathed Hastert because they want immigration reform also. So he had both sides against him.
So you feel that there's something wrong with this whole picture, this case coming out now, without again apologizing for child molestation, which you're not doing, nor am I doing it. You know the case stinks to high heaven. Why would the prosecutor say that this kid who was molested was not extorting him and saying it was a kind of settlement? How could they say a thing like that?
Well, they're trying to put as good a face on their prosecution as possible, and at the same time, completely besmirch Dennis Hastert's character so that neither he nor his name can be invoked to stop immigration reform, so-called amnesty, when it comes up again in the lame duck session or later. They haven't given up. They're going to try to push this thing through.
You caught this whole thing that I was telling you. I didn't want to talk about it, but I felt I had to because I know the law was twisted here to nail this guy on another charge. which just shows you that if they want to get you, they can make charges up and put you in jail for breathing the air itself. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing for anyone living in this country. No one listening to this show should celebrate this case, because it means if a corrupt government wants to get you, they can invent charges against you and throw you in jail. That's what it comes down to, Rich. Don't you agree?
Very much so. It's selective prosecution at the highest and most corrupt order. It's totally politically motivated. They don't care what Hastert did 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 years ago. It's his political importance in a matter they want to get done, and he stood in the way. Okay, we're going.
He's very much a political prisoner in this case, something that you would see in China, that if you disagree with the party's politics, they will trump charges up against you, pardon the word, and you will go to jail. You will not be seen for a long time.
Yeah,
all right, thank you for the call. I don't want to dwell on this one, but this is something you had to see. He was not arrested for the molestations that he committed decades ago because the statute of limitations had expired. He was arrested for withdrawing money from his own bank account and paying an extortionist. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Unlike other candidates for the presidency, war and aggression will not be my first instinct. You cannot have a foreign policy without diplomacy. A superpower understands that caution and restraint are really, truly signs of strength. Although not in government service, I was totally against the war in Iraq, very proudly, saying for many years that it would destabilize the Middle East. Sadly, I was correct.
All right. I agree with him on that, and that's why we all like Donald Trump. But he's gone from this extemporaneous speaker to the thing in front with the sound of a picture. I don't even know what they call teleprompter that Obama uses. I can't use them. I tried once. It's impossible for me to follow those scripts. I go to sleep. I need some kind of medication to get me to even look at those things. Ann Coulter was on my show way back when I first started in radio. I discovered Ann Coulter. I'm not saying that she'd be nothing without me, but I really liked her. Then some reason we had a falling out. I once said something about her, so she's not liked me ever since. I won't repeat the slur. It was funny. It was meant as a humorous joke, but you can't criticize women. You know that. They never forgive you for eternity. Once you say something, that's it forever. But she wrote a column on Breitbart that I have to quote some of it. It's so funny. And she says, apparently John Kasich and Senator Ted Cruz are at their most appealing when no one is paying attention to them, which conveniently is most of the time. Listening to Cruz, she writes, always make me feel like I have a brain disorder. He speaks so slowly, my mind wanders between words. As Trump said, there's a 10-second intermission between sentences. I want to order Cruz's speeches as Amazon Audible, so just so I can speed them up and see what he's saying. The guy did go to Harvard Law School, so I keep waiting for the flashes of brilliance, but they never come. Cruz is completely incapable of extemporaneous wit. Now that Cruz has been mathematically eliminated, he's adding Carly Fiorina to the ticket. She's not his running mate, but his limping mate. It's an all-around lemon-eating contest. It gets even better. Voters quickly moved on from Cruz and tried Kasich, but he turned out to be the spitting image of a homeless man. He's got the slouch, the facial tics, and a strange way of bouncing his head and looking around that makes you want to cross the street to avoid him. Kasich looks like he cuts his own hair. And his suits are Ralph Nader cast-offs. He wolfs down food like a street person, has a hair-trigger temper, and rants about religion in a way that only he can understand. She says, Kasich is constantly proclaiming that illegals are made in the image of God and denounces the idea of enforcing federal immigration laws, saying, I don't think it's right. I don't think it's humane. And it's pretty funny stuff. And I have to read it. I rarely quote somebody that doesn't like me, but I did it because it's so good and it's so cutting. And I thought I'd read it to you because I'm not a guy who carries grudges myself. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be back. The phone number here is 855-407-282. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
I will not hesitate to deploy military force when there is no alternative. But if America fights, it must only fight to win.
Pretty good stuff.
I will never send...
Okay, got it. It's enough already. So, the big take-home message, I think, of my analysis today is that in using the America First title for his foreign policy speech, he will be pilloried by both, I would say mainly by the left, calling him a continuation of the Charles Lindbergh model. And that's not going to be very good for his campaign. Just watch what happens. Even though the left in this country has been anti-war forever, fundamentally, Trump's isolationist viewpoint, his America First theme, which is an anti-war theme, should appeal to leftists. They're going to use it to attack him. They're going to say he's an anti-Semite. They're going to say he's an anti-this. They're going to say he's an anti-that. And I played you. Did we play the Lindbergh speech at all? We have that on. Oh, it's unbelievable if you never heard it. But let me go to one of the callers who's been holding a long time on one of my great affiliates in Texas, KLIF in Dallas. Doug, welcome to the Savage Nation from Line 6. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir, Dr. Savage. My question is, in your book, Government Zero, at the very end, it's one of the most wonderful endings to any book I've ever seen. And which one of the important things that you list do you think is the most important with what's happening right now with Mr. Trump?
Interesting. Well, on page 313, after I lay out the damage Obama's done to America, I conclude with solutions, 40 actions to save America. The number one point, and I don't know whether it's the most important, is start a nationalist party. And I wrote, we need a true two-party system. Right now we have a one-party system. It's a charade. And as we have seen with Boehner and McConnell, we have an oligarchy running America. We voted in conservatives, and they were put at the back of the bus. Conservative has become meaningless. A nationalist party, I write, would attract disaffected members from both parties and tip the balance of power back to the people. I would say that Trump represents the nationalist plank of the Republican Party, which is why they've been fighting him. And if they had any brains, they'd recognize that this nationalist plank should represent the Republican Party. Unfortunately, it is anathema to them because they don't believe in America. But that's number one. Number two of solutions is close the borders completely for 7 years. Three, deport all illegal aliens in American prisons. Four, repeal the Anchor Babies Law. Five, make English the official language of the United States. Six, require government-issued ID to vote. And so forth and so on. It's... Here, restructure military spending. Donald Trump spoke about that at length today. I wrote, we need to adequately equip the soldiers who are defending our civilization and stop wasting defense dollars in Germany and South Korea. Pull our troops out of those countries and redeploy them on our southern border. This will help control illegal immigration and ensure that soldiers are patronizing American retailers and businesses instead of foreign ones. That's an interesting side note that no one thought of. Use some of the savings to increase the pay and upgrade the equipment of soldiers on the front lines of the war on radical Islam. Repair our relations with Russia. Point 12. Russia, I write, should be an ally in the war against radical Islam and a partner in the world economy. The United States should propose an agreement that has Russia cease any aggression outside its borders in return for assurance that the U.S. and Europe will stay out of the affairs of nations bordering Russia. There are many other points, very carefully thought out. Doug, I assume you have the book, and that's why you asked me about my ranking of importance, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I gave it to all three of my kids for Christmas. So.
I'm going to send you another one just for yourself, Doug, for being such a careful reader. I really mean it. It's nice to see that there are people out there who actually study the issues. So going back to Trump's speech today, America was being called, you know, anti-isolationism, America First. You should know, as I told you earlier, that this slogan of America First was previously used, and one of the chief proponents of America First was the great aviator Charles Lindbergh. And that America First, when it first appeared, became associated with isolationism, anti-Semitism, and short-sightedness. Because just only 3 months after Lindbergh's speech, Japan attacked Pearl Harbor. And Germany declared war on the U.S., and that made Lindbergh's stance totally obsolete. Now, you should know that it was disbanded right after Pearl Harbor, incidentally. I'm sure that Trump's people know the legacy of America First. And I'm not so sure that they're going to be ready for the backlash that the vermin in the media are sure to produce. However, his positions are quite clear. It's an alternative to the Obama years, the years of appeasement, the years of rewarding our enemies and, let us say, insulting or punishing our friends. So we'll have to wait and see. Now, the craziest thing that happened today was Carly Fiorina giving a speech like she already was vice president. Like a speech like she was elected already. There she was. You have to listen to this, to hear the derangement. And I think that for the sake of America, the right thing to do would be for Cruz and Fiorina to withdraw immediately and put all their efforts in making sure that we have Trump elected. I doubt that that will happen. I want to play for you, for your listening edification, in the waning 20 minutes of the Savage Nation today, something that is historically interesting and may be of interest to you. Trump's policy of America First, again, was popularized back in the late 30s by many people, including JFK, but the face of it was Charles Lindbergh. I want you to listen to what happens when Lindbergh gave a speech in those days. Listen to what happens in the audience on the Savage Nation.
We cannot allow the natural passions and prejudices of other peoples to lead our country to destruction. The Roosevelt administration is the third powerful group which has been carrying this country toward war. Members have used the war emergency to obtain a third presidential term for the first time in American history. They have used the war to add unlimited billions to a debt which was already the highest we have ever known. And they have used the war to justify the restriction of congressional power and the assumption of dictatorial procedures on the part of the president and his appointees.
Wow. Well, this speech should be studied in great detail because so much of what Lindbergh and the America Firsters were arguing in those days, I didn't say all, so much of what they were saying then is relevant today. And did you hear what he said? The president has used the War Powers Act to pursue an unprecedented third term. That's what Roosevelt did. I am terrified, as I sit here, that a similar maneuver could be enacted by Barry himself. I don't know whether this could still happen, but the tricksters who have ruined this country, the tricksters who are running the country, the tricksters who are doing everything they can to make certain that a new world order, a one-world government emerges, and all nations are submerged, will stop at nothing to see their dire plans enacted. Okay, my friends, it's a very serious day. And as you hear in my own tone, there's some difference in my voice today because things are going on in the world right now that are very, very importantly being misunderstood. And this issue of Trump's ascension to the nomination, which is sure to happen, I don't think the Republicans dare stop him anymore. And it just shows you how unqualified Cruz really is for this position. Because if he cared about America, if he cared about stopping Hillary, he would not stop Donald Trump. That's my opinion. But you know that it's all about ego and it's all about power, and I don't think he is going to stop. And foolishly, even though he got slammed last night and lost five states in a row, he got up this morning, gave a speech like he was a winner, and then made an announcement that Fiorina, he picked her for the vice president. He just lost. Listen to the speech again of the weird Ted Cruz picking Carly Fiorina, and then Fiorina announcing it like she's already the vice president. Well, any one of them. Play either one, whatever you have, Robert.
After a great deal of consideration and prayer, I have come to the conclusion that if I am nominated to be president of the United States, that I will run on a ticket with my vice presidential nominee, Carly Fiorina.
Today, I am very proud and very humbled and honored.
She won already.
To announce that I have accepted.
She's already the vice president.
Senator Ted Cruz's offer to be his vice president.
Like a high school speech. All right, it's like a girl in high school congratulating herself. She didn't win anything. This is absurd for someone who loses five primaries to pick a vice presidential candidate. All right, whatever. Let's take some calls. Let's go to. Thanks for the call. It's not ready for prime time. That sounded like he was on laughing gas. WJR in Detroit. Jeff, line two. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi. Yeah, I'm a Indiana voter. I work up in Detroit. And I was a Cruz supporter. But speech today, something just hit me about it. He was so clear, so detailed and concise. He was so presidential that I am convinced that nothing can stop America from being great again if we will elect this person into this office. Ted Cruz, I agree with him on most of my worldview, but I don't think he can do it. Today at this speech, I heard the president that will change this government zero into a government that is America first. I'm so passionate now about Donald Trump. I was kind of on the fence, but now I'm convinced, and I've made my decision, and I think a lot of people have because of this.
No, all right, so look, I accept what you're saying, but doesn't it give you a kind of eerie feeling that Cruz goes on and on like he won last night when he lost?
It's strange. It is strange. I would have wrapped it up by now. I don't know that I would have gone out and said, hey, now I'm going to show you who I want as my vice. That's a weird move in my mind.
It's a very weird move. So Trump gives a speech today entitled America First, and Cruz gives a speech today entitled Ted First.
It's strange. It's just totally strange.
So by when you say this government zero, I assume that you know what's in that book, correct?
You know, I've heard everything. I haven't read it entirely yet. I'd love to read it.
All right, I'm going to send you a copy. It's more important today than it was when I wrote it. So there it is. Trump, 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 Trump. KSFO, Tom, line three. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage. I heard Donald Trump last night. He's the only one talking about the dangers of North Korea. And last night he said he's tired of China toying with us, playing this coy game when they could shut down that nuclear madman who's working to perfect submarine delivery. And, you know, I think all the liberals in San Francisco who hate Trump in a rabid way, did they conceive of getting the news on the radio that 30 minutes from a launch, their Bay Area could become a radioactive wasteland?
No, it's not real to them. No, they are dancing around the golden calf. They're more interested in marijuana, smoke-ins, whip-ins on the Castro. They don't believe that there's any reality to your fears, and I hope that their unreality is more close to reality than your fears. Not to speak in the world of puzzles, but look, the fact of the matter is, several years ago, I said that North Korea is China's junkyard dog. Didn't I say that?
Yep.
Remember I said China uses North Korea as a mad pit bull to scare the West? That fat slob in North Korea wouldn't last 1 second if his Chinese masters didn't want him to bark like the junkyard dog that he is, and they use him whenever they want him to scare us. I'll be right back. Thanks for calling.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Friends, if you are a Democrat, an independent, or a thoughtful Republican, you know their approach is not going to build an America where we increase opportunity or decrease inequality. No. So instead of letting them take us backwards, we want America to be in the future business. I want you to keep imagining a tomorrow where instead of building walls, we're breaking down barriers. We are making it more likely that Americans will be part of a prosperous, inclusive, decent society.
We're
imagining a tomorrow where every parent can find a good job and every grandparent can enjoy a secure retirement.
A chicken in every pot.
We're imagining a tomorrow where no child grows up in the shadow of discrimination or under the
spectre poor children from the third world. Yeah, right. All right, so there it is. You have a clear choice coming up, which is either America first or America last. It's that simple. You make the decision. You decide which side you're on. A continuation of Obama's policies or a movement to secure America's future in a way that will be better for our children and grandchildren. And there's nothing more that I can say about it other than Sanders at least has the dignity to realize he's finished. I wish Cruz had the same dignity as Sanders. Headline, Sanders to lay off hundreds of campaign staffers. Democratic presidential candidate Bernie the Commie Sanders laying off campaign staffers following more primary losses this week to frontrunner Hillary Clinton. So the question is, why doesn't Ted Cruz fire hundreds of campaign staffers? The answer is because the money is too good. The answer is because the money keeps flowing, not only to him, but from him. That's the answer, my friends. That's the only reason that Ted Cruz made the insane announcement today that he picked Carly Fiorina after losing five states in a row. If this is not a mark of derangement, please tell me what is. America first, not bad. Borders, language, and culture, better.